Hello, my name is Tabitha Davies. I am a certified professional dog trainer and an associate certified dog behavior consultant. I live in the Palm Springs, California area. I run All Big Canines as well as the Coachella Valley Dog Club. And this episode is called Understanding the Cycle of Aggression. So what that means is the cycle or the circle of life when it comes to aggressive behavior. A lot of people have a misconception that dogs will snap and will attack out of nowhere. The words that are primarily used are unprovoked. The dogs seem to just lunge forward. There was nothing happening that was causing the dog's aggressive behavior until the dog lost it. The problem is when we get our dogs and we bring them into our lives, even if we've had dogs for 30 or 40 years, so most often when we're dealing with aggressive behavior and it seems to be out of the norm, we have those misconceptions. We get our dogs, we can have our dogs for 30 or 40 years. None of us have been taught how to read body language unless someone has given you those skills. Be it through a presentation, online videos, handouts, posters you've seen in a clinic or a training facility, you don't innately understand dog body language communication. Just like how dogs don't understand how to speak English or Spanish or Mandarin or Farsi. They don't speak different languages. They can understand certain words and associate it with a cue and a behavior. They recognize patterns, but we have a huge communication barrier. So when we're looking at a dog case and we get told by people it was unprovoked, nothing was done that was causing the dog anything, or the dog is doing it maliciously, those are not factual statements. Those are emotional statements that we make because based on our experiences and our understandings, this is logical to us that the dog is just crazy. The dog is unpredictable, and dogs can still be unpredictable. However, that unpredictable is only to a certain extent. Dogs give, unless we have corrected it out of them, dogs give really, for the most part, beautiful body language communication from everything from, hey, how are you, to, oh, it's nice to meet you, to, ooh, this smells amazing, to, I'm really uncomfortable and nervous in this situation. Please don't touch me. Please don't come near me. Go away. I swear to God, I'm going to bite you if you don't leave me alone. So all of these different types of body language communication are incorporated in the ear set of the dogs, their facial expressions, how their eyes are, the tenseness or fluidity of the body, how their tail set is, the tail movement, how their lips are parted or not parted, if they're panting, if they're not panting, how they're carrying their weight, their hair, if the hackles are up or not. All of these things need to be pieced together to paint a picture of how that dog is feeling. And it takes a lot of practice to get there. Then, you know, once you learn it, you're never going to be able to go to a dog park or a dog play group unless it is properly managed without cringing and going, oh my God, these people have no idea what's going on. It will completely ruin all of these other wonderful social settings that you deal with dogs in on a routine basis. And that's actually a good thing because it means you can advocate for the dogs when you need to. When we're dealing with the cycle of aggression, it looks a little something like this. So the dog gives off the body language. The person doesn't recognize it, or the other animal doesn't recognize it. And the dog has to react aggressively. The aggression happens to make the entire situation no longer a situation, because it either results in a fight where somebody wins and somebody loses, which in the reality, everybody loses in a fight, or the other thing or person backs off. So the dog has just been reinforced by their aggressive behavior working. And then it repeats. The dog goes back to that kind of normal behavior pattern until something else triggers it. And a lot of people don't realize sometimes it's a sound, sometimes it's a smell, sometimes it's a visual on another dog, sometimes it's a new piece of furniture. There are certain dogs that cannot have their environment changed without significant anxiety and stress in that dog. There are dogs who don't care. You could never have the same schedule ever in your life, and those dogs are totally fluid and happy just moving around. But when we don't address it, or we improperly address it, so let's say, for example, dog gives off body language, dog starts to growl, owner corrects growl. Dog gives off more body language, tries to completely avoid conflict, and then gives warnings, and then gives another growl. Dog gets corrected for the growl. And this happens over and over and over again. And this is how this cycle is done. Every single time that the dog growls, the owner corrects the growl. And it's done with physical pain. And it to that owner, they've been told how to use this collar, that it doesn't hurt if it's used correctly, blah, 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 blah. But with this particular collar, every time you yank, the prongs are pushed into the neck. And the dog is in pain. That's how it's stopping the behavior. So every time the dog growls to say, I've asked you to please go away and you haven't gone away, now you're still here, eventually that dog will stop growling. Then what you have is an unprovoked bite, because you won't have a growl before the dog bites, because you have corrected the growl. You have not taught the dog how to feel differently, how to behave differently, how to handle the situation differently. You have not learned how to handle any of these things properly. And so, therefore, when your dog bites, no, your dog gave some good body language, but your dog didn't growl. Your dog just bit, because you have systematically turned off the warning system. By the time that we get to growling, chuffing, lunging, barking, all of those behaviors are very offensive. And by the time we've gotten to that point, our dog has already asked multiple times, even for a split second, to please stop. Now, if we're constantly flooding our dog with triggers to where they're extremely anxious, intense, and upset, then we might not get more than one warning, and it might be a millisecond. And then you deal with the barking, growling, lunging, or you just get the bite, depending on what you've corrected. Because correcting is suppressing a symptom of a behavior. So if you think of aggression as being a cold, we treat the symptoms of a cold, which are headache, body ache, stuffy nose, runny nose, and cough. So the medication that we take is a combination of products to help treat all of those common symptoms. But it's not treating the cold. Your body has to fight that off on its own. Now, when you're getting really, really sick, you're going to go into the hospital and you're going to get antivirals or antibiotics to stop those things from progressing, and to kick it out of your system. That is treating the actual problem. And so when we're dealing with aggression, we need to treat the actual problem so we can, work with the symptoms to mitigate the symptoms through environmental management, visits with a veterinary behaviorist, pharmacotherapy. If we need to, bring in different types of enrichment activities, things to help keep the dog at a baseline that is effective for starting to teach how to feel differently and how to handle the different situations. But that being said, sorry, I have the baby in the car. That being said, if we don't address it properly and we focus on suppressing the behavior, you will end up with a dog who is pretty much a ticking time bomb. So it's really important to get the right professional, not just do research from recommendations from friends and sometimes even veterinarians, but actually do your research. Go to the IAABC, the CCPDT, the Pet Professional Guild, the APDT, and make sure on that one that they're certified. Make sure that you a Karen Pryor clicker trainer is going to be able at least to direct you to the right place if they're not a certified behavior consultant. If you're in the UK, there's a bunch of different groups there. If you're, wanting to get a veterinary behaviorist, there's very few of them in this country, but we have some. And we also have really good vets that are on fearfreepets.com that you can go to that can help address some of these issues as well. So get a good team going, so you don't end up spending three times as much later on trying to fix a problem that was created by hiring the wrong people.